Thank you for joining us for the Tucson Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Brent Armstrong. This podcast features the messages from the teaching and preaching ministry at our church. Tucson Baptist Church is located in Tucson, Arizona, and we are committed to loving God, growing together, and reaching our community. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, please visit TucsonBaptist.com. We pray that today's message is an encouragement to you.
I want to preach a message focused on faith. That's our theme this year, focused on faith, my mission for Him. You've heard the singing this morning, and you've heard the name of Jesus over and over again. You've heard through song about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And you may be visiting with us from a completely different denomination, a different religion. You may have not been in church and you know nothing about church, or you may be a regular attender, or you may be a longtime member here. Every one of us, we have a mission. And some of us are on mission. We're on point. While many of us are not on mission. What God has called you to do and what He put you on earth to do is like no one else. Only you have your mission. And only you can fulfill your life mission. And the moment you became a believer, the moment you step across the line, the moment you say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Here, I want to give my life for you. The moment you cross that line, God has an assignment for you. Have you found it? Have you discovered it? It is called your life mission. And this morning, with God's help, I'd like to preach a brief message from the book of Acts chapter 20 and the book of Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to look at two verses in particular and focus our thoughts this morning on these verses. And many of the parts of your life mission are unique. But there's one part of your life, your mission, that we all have in common. And here it is. There's not a one of us that's uniquely set apart and has a different mission than this. God wants you to tell other people what has happened to you. God wants you to tell other people what has happened to you. It is called your testimony. It's called your witness. It's called the good news that God did something in your life. In fact, this requires a great focus if you're going to be successful in your mission for Him. And with that, I'd like for us to look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course." And let me interject here that finish my course could be best stated that I might finish my mission. I might finish the mission that God has given me with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Once I know Jesus Christ, part of my life mission, not all of it, but a major part of it, is that I must share what has happened in my life. There must be a focus in my life, a focus to tell others about the good news about Jesus Christ. Jesus even said this in John chapter 20. He says, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And as He was talking to those disciples, He was replicating the mission in their lives. And that's been replicated for some 2,000 years. As we become a Christian, as we become a follower of Christ, we then take the good news, that message, that change that's happened in our life. I was once on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I was once a life full and racked with sin, and now I have a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. What has He sent us to do? What is the mission? If you have your Bibles, look there in Acts chapter 1, a very familiar verse, Acts chapter 1, as we look at this verse this morning, a unique verse. And how do you get a whole message out of this? It comes to the latter part of this verse, and the Bible says this, "And ye shall be witnesses," my life mission, "and ye shall go on your life mission unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. This is a very, very important verse to Tucson Baptist Church. Let me explain why. When I look at the history of our church, when I look at 65, 66 years of history, this has been the mission of the church, is to reach our Jerusalem. Now notice this verse. It says this. We're going to break this verse down. Ye shall be my witness. You are to be a witness, a testimony in your life. What does it mean to be a witness? God wants you to be a witness. Well, let me use a trite little illustration. Have you ever watched Judge Judy? I don't really encourage you to waste your time doing that, but some of you have seen Judge Judy, and they'll call forward a witness, and a witness is someone who shares their personal experience. Now, most of them are paid actors, and you know that that show's not really real. But they'll say something like this: I saw this, I heard this, I witnessed this, and therefore they become a testimony of some fact that supposedly happened. Here's witnessing. Witnessing is simply sharing what God is doing in my life. Witnessing is simply sharing what God is doing in my life. It's not required of you that you be a theological expert. It's not being a pastor or a preacher. When I'm talking about you sitting there in your chair, what you are to be truly focused on is simply sharing what God is doing in your life. Has He done something great? He sure has. He saved you. He changed you. He gave you a new destination. He gave you eternal security. And there's a whole host of benefits from that. God wants you to be a witness, to embrace and accept that life mission and to focus on that. Well, some people think that is what preachers and pastors and missionaries and evangelists do. They are the ones who are supposed to tell other people about Christ. Actually, you are a more effective witness than I am. What? You mean we pay you and I'm better at it than you are? Well, people expect me to talk about Jesus. They expect me to open God's Word and to speak about Jesus. They expect me to go to the hospital and read a verse and say a prayer. And there's that expectation. And so when someone says, hey, you're supposed to do that, you're the paid salesman for Jesus. You're expected to talk about God. But on the other hand, when you talk about God, you're the satisfied customer. If I'm the paid salesman, you're the satisfied customer. And here's what I've learned through life is that when you have satisfied customers, they love to tell what they're satisfied about. Think about this. If I go to Yelp and I write a review about a new restaurant as a satisfied customer, other people are going to read that and they're going to be impressed to either go to that restaurant, or if I give it a 1-star, they're going to say, ooh, that I don't think I want to go to that restaurant. But here's what's interesting. If I use that illustration of Yelp, there could be, on Yelp, it tells you how many reviews you've made. And so if someone only makes 1 or 2 reviews and they're bad reviews, they may have an axe to grind. But if someone has 300 or 400 reviews, you know what? I'm going to read their reviews with interest because they have experience. And listen, when they say this is a great place, they know what they're talking about. Or they say, don't go to this place. Service is terrible. The food was terrible. I'm going to listen to that because you know what? They continually talk about their experiences. And the more you talk about your experiences, the more people that you're going to impact. Your life mission is found here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. It gives us a roadmap of how we're to reach the world. The Bible mentions 4 places: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Pastor, am I supposed to get on an airplane and fly to Israel and go to Jerusalem to share my faith? No, that's not what it's talking about. Jesus and the disciples were already, when he gave this verse, they were already in Jerusalem. Here's the point. Start where you are. That's what Jesus was saying. You're to reach the people that are right there in your life. That is your family and your friends and your coworkers. That's your Jerusalem. Do you know where our Jerusalem is? Right here in Tucson. Right where we live. We have a responsibility to reach our Jerusalem, which is Tucson. You start with the people that are closest to you, and you start where you are. You don't have to go somewhere else first. Then the Bible says you go to Judea. Judea was like a county or a state. What is our Judea? It is Pima County. It's the state of Arizona. Now, I took some time to break it down. They say there's for sure 1 million people in Pima County that we know of. And in that 1 million people, I want to ask you, is there anybody in that 1 million people that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Oh, yes. Let me say this. What if, and we know the statistic is not even close, but let's say that there's 50% of Pima County that's a Christian and go to church on Sunday. Well, we know that's not even remotely close. But let's say 50%. So how many people does that leave left in Pima County? How many? 500,000, right? 500,000. And we know that there's not enough churches to reach 500,000 people in our county. So we still have 500. If we use a statistic that there's 50% of people that are saved, which we know that's not true, I'm just using it for illustration purposes. Let's say there's still 500,000 people left. And let's say that we pray, oh ye of little faith, we pray for a 1% result on 500,000 people, and that would be 5,000. Some people need to take math again. Anyway, there's 5,000 people. Do you realize there's not even close to 1,000 people here? We have 800 to 850 people in church today. There's still, if we just pray for a 1% result on the 500,000 that's left after we're saying 500,000 go to church, folks, we're not even close to doing the job. Not even close. We've got a mission. We've got to reach our Jerusalem. There are tens and tens of thousands of people in Pima County that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says, go to Samaria. Well, that's the rest of the country, the rest of the United States. But and so the fact is that we have to reach our Jerusalem and our surrounding area of Judea, Pima County, and then not even thinking about the rest of the state, and then the United States of America. We've got a big task before us, but until we start where we are, we're never going to reach the rest. Some of us, we've never even started on reaching Jerusalem. Then it says, go to the end of the world. For literally hundreds and hundreds of years, Christians could not do that because of travel. Well, we can go literally anywhere in the world right now and get on an airplane. In fact, in some cases, it's actually faster on an airplane to go to to another country than it is to drive to another city within the United States of America. Our life mission is that we're to invite other people to God's family. I'm to tell people about what has happened in my life, and that is that Jesus saved me. He gave me a new mission. He gave me a new life. What am I supposed to share? You say, Pastor, I hear what you say. I'm supposed to share the story. What is it? It's called the good news of Jesus Christ in its simplest form. In fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach or tell others about the gospel message. Do you like to get good news? Every one of us does. I've yet to meet someone that says, I hate good news. We love good news. We love telling us when we went fishing and telling about the fish that we caught. Or we love to go on vacation and you went to some spectacular place and you came back and you can't wait to tell everybody about it. And the fact of the matter is that we like to tell a good news about our personal lives, but then when it comes to our spiritual lives, we come to a screeching halt because we say, oh, nobody wants to hear about that good news. May I just tell you, you're dead wrong. People are not interested in religion, but they are interested in good news. And what is that good news? His name is Jesus Christ. May I just say this so there's no misunderstanding? The good news is not Tucson Baptist Church. I'm thankful for Tucson Baptist Church. I've devoting my life to Tucson Baptist Church. I love Tucson Baptist Church. I love everything about Tucson Baptist Church. But the good news is the Jesus who controls Tucson Baptist Church. And so I'm here to tell you that we have an opportunity to tell others the good news. Now, some of you are saying, wait, he hasn't got into his message yet. So quickly, very quickly, let me give you three thoughts of why there's a benefit to sharing the good news. And may I just remind for some of you that may be old and crusty in your faith, and you did this a long time ago, and you've lost any energy and joy and excitement about what Jesus has done. May I just remind you of three benefits of what we're going to do on Easter. And that this is great news. It's fantastic news that we should be able to share. Here's benefit number one. I have received forgiveness for my past. The reason I have good news to share is that I have received forgiveness for my past. It's a first benefit. If you were to take everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything that you've ever thought, you were to make a movie about it, you were to show it on the screens behind me, you'd get really nervous. And I would too. And I'd be mortally embarrassed if everything I've ever done in the past were to be revealed on the screens behind. But I am so thankful there is a God that forgives. What we can't forget, He can. And He has. And I have received forgiveness for my past. God comes along and says, when you trust Jesus Christ with your life, I take that movie, I rip it up, I burn it, I bury it. It's never, ever to be watched again because I give you freedom in Christ. And so whatever you've done in the past, I forgive you. And if you will focus on your faith and you will focus on your mission, you can share with others that you have been forgiven of things that are amazing. And you've been forgiven of choices that you made in the past that you're embarrassed about. And you've been forgiven of things that you have thought to do to other people. And you've been forgiven of things that you've actually done to other people. And you can get forgiven for all the things of your past. My friend, that's liberating. You do not have to be changed in the past. We spent 2 weeks preaching about that. Here's benefit number two. I've received a purpose for living right now. I have a purpose for living right now. I embrace it. I love it. I'm thankful for it. And if you're trying to discover why you're here this morning, where you came from, where you're going, none of that's going to make sense until you accept God's forgiveness and then accept God's mission and His plan for your life. You probably are just saying, I'm just here trying to find myself. May I just tell you, if you do find yourself, you're not going to be very happy. Your happiness, your fulfillment, your joy comes from the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's the mission of the devil, is to destroy your life. And he does that through robbing you here and robbing you here and taking from you over here. And the devil knows how to destroy your life. And if your life mission is not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, you will never have joy. Joy, because the devil will rob it and destroy your marriage and your work and your relationships. And when you put your head on your pillow, you're nervous about if you were to die tonight. You sweat because you really don't know if you were to wake up in the morning. If you don't wake up in the morning, where you would spend your eternity. You actually, you are seated here right this morning. You do not know. I'm here to tell you that when you trust Jesus Christ, He gives you a mission. And that mission is to tell others. Here's benefit number three. I have forgiveness of my sins. God gives me a purpose for living. And here's a great benefit, one that you can hold on to and one that I don't see how you can keep from telling other people. And that is this: I have received a certain future. Not a suspect, not a maybe, not a what, well, I don't know. I have received a certain future when I trusted Jesus Christ. And accepting the good news of Jesus Christ assures me of this very thought, a home in heaven. And I would call it God's retirement plan, but it's so much more than that because we're not going to retire when we go to heaven. We're going to be busy in heaven. I also want to encourage you is that hope is not enough. I hope to make it to heaven. My friend, you can know you're going to heaven. It is not based on your merits. It's not based on your money. It's not based on how much you give to the church. It's not based on how many baptisms you've had. It's not based on how many prayers that you've said. It is this. It is that I have placed my faith and trust in the one and only person whose name is Jesus Christ. By the way, that's not religion, that's relationship. That I am not trusting in the Baptist to get me to heaven. I am not trusting in the Methodist to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting in my Lutheranism to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting in my Catholicism to get me to heaven. I trust in one thing. I believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. That's it. That's what the Bible says. I'm so thankful that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, because he cannot allow an imperfect person like me to come to heaven. I have to have a sin covering, and Jesus became my sin offering to allow me to be able to go to heaven if I but believe in him. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. That means you cannot earn it, you cannot work for it, you cannot own it in any way. It is a free gift. Now, there's two groups of people here. There are those who have received the free gift. You've accepted it, and you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And maybe you're praying for your teenage son or your teenage daughter to accept it, or your young son or your young daughter. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing that they will accept that free gift. But you may be the other group of people that's here this morning, and you say, I've never received Jesus. I've never asked him and acknowledged that I'm a sinner before God. May I just tell you that there is freedom in Christ if you will accept his forgiveness, own the mission, and then realize that you have a certain future. I wonder this morning, have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Why would I do this? Why would I share the good news? Here's one word why I would share the good news. Here's that word: love. I love people. I love people. And I do not want to see people die and go to hell. For the love of Christ constrains or compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Love motivates me to tell the good news. Love's going to motivate me. I will go out with any of you and give out door hangers on street after street. Why do I want to do that? Not so that I can walk tens and tens of miles. I do that because with every one of those door hangers, it's an opportunity for someone to say, you know what? This church cared enough for me to come to my door and invite me to church. I think I need to go. And on Sunday, March the 31st, when we're looking for seats and have an overflow crowd, and by the way, I believe that's going to happen, because we have prayed for God to prosper us, and we're going to continue to pray for the next 3 weeks that God will prosper this effort. And you, who may sit back and say, I don't believe it's going to happen, you're going to witness a miracle. And we're going to see God, the God of heaven, do something great. And then they're going to hear about Jesus Christ and how that there's a difference between heaven and hell. There's a difference between a sinner and someone who can be sinless. And they're going to hear a difference and some comparisons in that Sunday morning message. May I just tell you that everybody matters to God, and we've got to tell them. That's our mission. And I must focus on my mission, and that is to tell other people about Christ. Really, the reason why you and I do not share the good news is that you and I do not love people enough. We don't. We do not love people enough. Well, my time is gone. Let me just illustrate it this way. I've been to a couple different house fires, and a house fire is a horrible thing. A few years ago, our own son had his own house over in Texas burned completely to the ground. Many of you were so kind, prayed for our family during that time. But if I could just illustrate it this way, if I saw a house burning and one of my grandchildren, and there are eight of them, one of my grandchildren was somehow trapped inside that house, at the risk of losing my own life, at the risk of people saying, no, stop, don't go, at the risk of someone saying, you're going to get injured, at the risk of someone saying, you're crazy, I don't care, you couldn't hold me back, I'm going to run in and try to rescue one of my grandchildren. And I'm going to grab them, I'm going to throw them over my shoulder, and I'm going to do everything in my power, hold my breath as long as I can. And I know that we have a fireman that leads our singing, and he could say, I said it all wrong, you don't ever do that, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, with every power and every fiber of my being, I'm going to run in, I'm going to swoop up one of my grandchildren, throw him over my shoulder, and I'm going to do everything I can to get out. I may be singed. I may be burned. I may have been crazy. I may have been foolish, but here's what I'm going to do. Because I love my grandchildren so much, I'm willing to lose life and limb to save them from dying in a house fire. Have you ever seen a person in the flames, dying and going to hell because they've never heard the good news about Jesus Christ. God convicted me even this week, or reminded me, impressed upon me. I've been witnessing to a man for some time now, right here in Tucson. And I went by to where he works, and I just asked the Lord, before I ever walked in, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to speak to this person? And they were so slow, he was not busy at all. And without me even asking to speak to him, he came over and sat down next to me. Now, he's promised me he'll be in church. He's promised me a dozen, two dozen times over the past years. But I saw him burning. I saw the house on fire. Someone's got to go in and tell him. And God's impressed upon me that that's me. That's my mission. And I reiterated again, Easter's coming. Would you bring your family to church? And you know what he told me? I'll be there. I don't know if he'll be there or not, but you know what? I see the house is burning, and if he doesn't get saved, he's going to die and go to a place called hell. How about you? Who will be in heaven because of you? Who will have heard the good news because of you?